Good morning, 6:17 a.m. on August the 21st, 2013. An ugly morning. Pardon the mic noise here. My mic has drifted aside. I gotta fix it. Ugly in the sense that it is overcast. 16 minutes on the first mile, not bad. It's overcast. It's actually spitting a little bit of rain. Every once in a while I get a drop. It's 70 degrees, which is unpleasantly warm for this time of day, and humid, which is much less common here than in other places. I'll see if I have inadvertently shut off the recorder. No, apparently not. So we're out and moving. 16 minutes on the first mile. I'm hoping for 17 minutes second mile. I've got to get home, make sure that the progeny is awake and moving. She pulled an all-nighter, I think, the other night, and she's paying for it today. She almost missed dinner, went back to bed, and has been asleep, I think, ever since. I've woken her up twice this morning, but she's not responding to her texts, which sort of makes me think she's not paying attention to her phone, which makes me think she's not awake. So yesterday the tree guys came and got medieval on the backyard. They took one whole truck and a half of chipped stuff, shredded material from the yard. And a couple of the lovely trees that were soon to die anyway have been removed. I'll have to figure out something to do. Perhaps a sapling will grow in their place or something. Or maybe they'll be back and take care of the stumping. So today I'm thinking about an article that Ivo Terra linked to on Google Plus yesterday, which is from The Economist, and they're looking at, you know, how publishing can survive the digital revolution, and specifically book publishing. And The Economist wrote something that everybody who is a professional journalist in this space has said, and it's something that I disagree with. That Random House merged with Penguin Group in order to more effectively compete with Amazon. This is such. This is such stupidity that I wonder if, in fact, they did do that. Because everybody is reporting it. That Amazon, or that Random House and Penguin Group merged in order to compete with Amazon. And now, if that is, in fact, true, if that is the rationale for that aggregation of publishing houses, then, yeah, they're lost. They have no idea. There's not a chance in the world. Because the reality is, Random House isn't competing with Amazon. Amazon is a retailer. I think I've mentioned this before. Amazon is a retailer. 30% of their revenue comes from books and book products. If Random House wants to compete with Amazon, they have to start selling office supplies and household fixtures and electronic equipment. And I don't see Random House sucking up Tiger Direct. And the other part of it is, I don't see Random House putting together a user interface, a buyer interface, a process by which people can buy their books and then have them downloaded by with any kind of means. Now, to be honest, I have not gone to Random House's site, so it's possible that there is one. But the fact that I'm a heavy reader, and I haven't gone to Amazon's, not to Amazon, to Random House's website, sort of underscores the larger problem. I don't call General Electric when I need a new toaster. I don't go see what new products in the GE appliance line the GE has come out with in the last couple of years when I need a new appliance. I go to the retailer and look for a toaster. I maybe go to the retailer's website and look for a toaster. I may go to Amazon and look for a toaster. But I don't go to GE. I don't go to Westinghouse. I don't go to any of those people. I go to the retailer, not the wholesaler. And Random House is still, as far as I can tell, a wholesaler. Now, Random House is not competing with Amazon. And if their strategy is how to deal with the competition from Amazon, then yeah, hey, keep going. Keep going, Random House, keep going. Because the longer you're tied up thinking you're competing with Amazon, the longer I can compete and succeed with Random House. That's the thing. That's the whole thing. It's really difficult to have a strategy that's based on a flawed assumption. Oh, we're going to go have a gunfight. Let me take a gun. I accept that it's underwater. This is going to be a problem. So there's a lot of issues that are tied up in that whole assumption that because Amazon now has a couple of imprints, that the big publishers need to compete with those imprints, when realistically the bar for competition against those imprints is pretty low. In my last release, Captain Share, which is the first new release I've had in way too long, Captain Share did better than most of the 47 North releases. It's still doing better 3 weeks later than most of the 47 North releases. And that's with the marketing power of Amazon behind it. What's wrong with this picture? If that's the bar, if that's where we decide whether or not we're being successful in competition, and some guy who tweets a little bit makes a blog post and emails his list of 1,800 people, can beat 47 North with the full marketing power of Amazon behind it, can beat, in many cases, Orbit. What's wrong with this picture? And then I go back to, they're not competing with Amazon. Monk pole. I had a talk with Dan Sawyer last night too about marketing, particularly about marketing to bookstores. And Dan's take on it is that bookstores give you access to an audience that is not technically astute. Now, I'm sure that some of the people who visit bookstores are not technically astute, but to call anyone who lives in the modern era not technically astute, I don't know. Part of the problem is that my audience is made up of those people who are active on social media, who are active on the internet, who read ebooks. And that was really his point, was that my audience is made up of those people who read ebooks, who read paperbacks that they order from Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And that by going into a bookstore, I open the door to people who do not do that. And I guess the question that I have, or the issue that I have with it is, by comparison, how big is that marketplace? Over and above the issue of, yeah, getting a book stacked in a bookstore is problematic to begin with. And he has a different perspective because he lives in San Francisco, and San Francisco has a fairly active bookstore scene. Here in Greeley, the closest bookstore is the College Bookstore, which doesn't stock much in the way of fiction. The next nearest bookstore, now that Hastings and Barnes & Noble and the only indie bookstore in the city has closed, the nearest bookstore is 35 miles away. Now, I grant you that here in the Wild West, 35 miles is about 40 minutes. But I really can't afford the gas to drive there to talk to the buyer. And, oh, by the way, it's a Barnes & Noble, so I really don't have to drive there to do it. I need to convince the Barnes & Noble booksellers, the buyer in New York, that they ought to stock my books. Yeah, that's going to happen. Not. So the next nearest independent bookstore that I know of, and there may be some closer, but they have pretty much zero visibility. But it's the big one down in Denver, the Tattered Cover. Now, there is a potential that I could sell a book or two at the Tattered Cover. But to what end? One or two sales a month doesn't really cover it. It's not really worth the effort. And there's another problem, and that's that in order for me to be able to sell to bookstores, I have to add $5 to the cost of the paperbacks. Because I need to have enough room to allow for 40% margin for the store markup. So I have to add $5. So instead of $11.95, it's going to be $16.95, $17 for trade paperback, which is right in line with all the other trade paperbacks that are on the shelf, because they all have to do the same thing. And here's the problem. Trade paperbacks don't make up that much of the market. If you're going to a bookstore to buy science fiction, I've got to figure that far and away the most popular format is mass market. I think mass market is still like a buck or two under 12. So you're not, you know, the majority of the science fiction people, and, you know, I consider myself a hardcore science fiction person, but I never bought science fiction in trade, unless it was from somebody I knew, and then generally buy it directly. Actually bought some of Sigler's hardcovers just because it's Sigler and I wanted to see what his hardcovers looked like, and they're gorgeous. So this idea that the paperback, that the bookstore shelf might still have some relevance in the marketplace is an idea that I've actually been working on since 2010, so 3 years, and that this notion that the bookstore shelf matters, I just haven't been able to see the value in it. I haven't seen it. Good morning. I haven't seen the value add. Yeah, I could put out a catalog. I could make it available to them. I could change the price. I could have a retailer's edition that has $5 more than the Amazon edition, but then the retailer looks online and sees that the book's for sale $5 less on Amazon than they can sell it for, and it's like, why would they bother? And Barnes & Noble is going to go belly up here before too much longer, so we'll be left with the Costcos and the grocery stores and the Walmarts. So those people aren't going to buy mid-list authors. They're just going to buy known brands. They're going to buy the mainstream, and they're not going to be buying off the rack. They're not going to be shopping in the bargain bins, which is how they see mid-list. So yeah, my books are never going to go into the airport. I don't care. That's the thing. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, dog. Dog always seems so happy to see me. It's the older collie with the gray muzzle. So, you know, it's like, gosh, we're... Yeah, some of them in some of the big cities where there's a population density where it makes some sense, where they can have foot traffic of 100 people a day or more. Yeah, I can see that. Here in Greeley, 100,000 people that live in Greeley. Yeah, 17 and a half on the back half. Talking too much and walking too little. So yeah, this whole bookstore thing, I'm just not seeing the value add proposition on it. But that could be me, and it could be the bias I have by being too parochial in my view. So I don't see it here in this town, so it can't exist anywhere else. That's not necessarily a good way to look at it. However, tomorrow's another day. I'm at the back gate. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.